Hey guys, welcome to It's a Bronx Story,
a podcast by two lifelong Yankee fans about all things Yankees.
All right guys, so on this episode we have the Rays series and the Astros series to cover. The Rays series, we're gonna go kind of quick through that. Even that was a pretty good series, but we really want to have a lot of time this episode to talk about the Astros series. And then since we're really starting an inch closer to the trade deadline with about a month-ish left until it. So, like, we want to start talking about some moves that we think would make sense and whatnot. And on this episode, it's just going to be strictly Yankees. So, I know that is all a lot of you really care about, but we just think there's so much to talk about the Yankees this week that it's just good to focus on them and not try and crunch that in to fit the MLB segment. So let's just kick it off. The first game of the Rays series, I think going into the series, it was like, if we win this series, cool, but we swept them in the first series, and this one's in the trop, so it's like, if we lose 2 out of 3, that's okay. It's obviously not good, but like, as long as we don't get swept, that's an acceptable result.
I guess going back to it, so sure, we're going to have individual series where it's tough, but I felt like this was the toughest stretch we were going to face. We had 13 games coming up. We had, you know, the Rays, Toronto, back to the Rays in Tropicana, and then going back to New York against the Astros. 13-game series where it's just, you know, tough opponents against tough opponent. So this was going to be the worst of we're going to face. So I just wanted just 500. If we go... or I guess it's 13 game series, so you can't go 500, but like six or seven, I'm fine with it because it's a tough series. But we swept the Rays. We took 2 out of 3 out of Toronto. We felt good. So now I'm just like, we're playing with like house money. Just don't get swept. That's the only thing I want to see. Don't get swept.
Yeah. And winning this series achieves the goal of being over 500 for those 13 games. So, So, yeah, but, I mean, 4 games set against the Astros in the Yankee Stadium, getting swept in that would be horrible. So game one, we had Garrett Cole versus Shane McClanahan. I mean, that's arguably – Garrett Cole is arguably a top two or three pitcher in the American League. Like, his stats aren't top three this year, but, like, it's Garrett Cole. He's shown that dominance. And then Shane McClanahan – has arguably been the best pitcher in the American League and is going to continue to be a top five pitcher in the American League for however long he stays on the Rays. Maybe he goes to the National League at some point, but he looks so good.
Oh, absolutely. Like I told you, like the Rays scare me because of their pitching and it's because of McClanahan. He's looked every bit of the ace that people said he could be.
Yeah.
And it's they grow pitchers on trees.
Yeah.
And he's just one of those guys.
Yeah, and Shane Baz hasn't been incredible this year, but he just came off of injury. When they have McClanahan, Glasnow, and Shane Baz all in the rotation next year, that's like a top three that not many teams can beat. Yeah. Assuming they pitch like they're able to pitch. Obviously, Baz coming off an injury and Glasnow won't be back till next year, so or at least late this year. Garrett Cole versus McClanahan. This is like the baseball that you pay to watch. This is a playoff, picture for you. Like this would be the game one starter if they faced off in a playoff series.
Yep.
But I mean, Garrett Cole, he had that stinker last year in Tampa Bay, and it feels like ever since that game, he's just dominated the Rays. And even that game, I think he had like 9 or 10 strikeouts. That's just like his thing against the Rays. This game he had 12 strikeouts. He did have 3 walks, which kind of it limited how deep he could go into the game.
We'll talk about it. He had special stuff, but throughout the first innings of it, he was throwing a lot of pitches.
Yeah.
So you're like, you don't think he could go that deep into it, but like you looked at his stuff, he was throwing, you know, gas.
Yeah, he looked so good.
He looked so good, yeah.
Yeah, and he had, like Jatinder said, he had something special going. He had a no-hitter through 7 innings. And like Jatinder said, like he had a lot of pitches in the beginning of the game. And we were just thinking there's no way he's going to be able to get a no-hitter because he was at 80-something pitches through five. Yeah. And then in the sixth and seventh inning, he used 10 pitches in the sixth and seven pitches in the seventh. Mm-hmm. So it got him back into a position where it was possible. Mm-hmm. And then he ended up giving up a hit to lead off the eighth inning, I believe. Yep. So, and to Prades, which that name will come back.
yep.
So that kind of sucked, but it was still great outing. 12 strikeouts, 3 walks, just one hit, 1 earned run.
Yeah.
And wasn't that earned run? That was not his earned run.
It came because Clay Holmes came in with the inherited runner and then allowed it to score.
Yeah, and Clay Holmes gave up his second run of the season off of... He did give up a double to Mejia. That was like a well-hit ball. But then his next two were just like 60-mile-per-hour choppers that just moved the runners over. So that sucks. But
So the Yankees... So Anthony Rizzo just continued his hot hitting.
Yeah.
He had that amazing performance against Toronto. Continued it in the first inning. If you were listening during the last podcast, we said Anthony Rizzo hit a home run in the first inning. So he got the home run, and then like it was just pretty much that was it. You know, McClanahan was dominant this start, and I wouldn't expect it any other way. He is the top three pitcher in the AL, MLB, whatever you want to say. He's been, you know, he's probably the favorite for the AL Cy Young. You know, Yankees got to him in the first inning, and that was it.
Yeah,
but then Cole was just awesome.
Yep. And in the seventh inning, there was a throwing error. There was an error on a Jose Trevino because he had the speed, apparently. He caused an error, and Gleyber Torres ended up scoring off it. So that made it 2-0. And then the next inning is when Clay Holmes allowed Gerrit Cole's run to score and his own run. So the Rays were able to tie it up in the bottom of the eighth inning. Mm-hmm. And then in the ninth inning, we had Aaron Hicks come up. And Aaron Hicks, when he hit it, I think he thought it was gone. A lot of people thought it was gone. Mm-hmm. It ended up hitting off the top of the wall. Hicks got a triple. Donaldson scored. We took the lead. It was a huge hit by Hicks. And then Trevi had a sack fly to make it 4-2. Mm-hmm. And Wandy came in and shut the door of that game.
But on that triple by Hicks, Manuel Margot got stretchered off. So just another injury down for the Rays. He's been really good for them this year. But like this game, Cole was just dominating. And then you feel the momentum shift. It's like, you know, Holmes gives up the inherited runner. Even though he didn't get hit hard, he did give up the tying run to score. Yeah. And you just feel, you're like, oh no, like all the momentum's on the Rays side. Immediately, the Yankees are able to respond and take the lead. And that's what you want to see. It's like, sure, it sucks for Cole. We couldn't see history, but you want to see the team battling, and they did it.
Yeah, definitely. And then we won game one. And then game two, it was an interesting one. It was Nestor versus Jalen Beek, so a bullpen game for the Rays.
Yeah.
And this game was pretty much just Esoc, I think they pronounce it on the broadcast, but Prades hit 3 home runs this game, 2 of them off Nestor, 1 off Clark Schmidt in the 5th.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was pretty much how this game went. He had 4 RBIs of the 5 runs that the Rays scored. The Yankees in this game did almost make the comeback. They scored 2 in the 9th to bring them within 1.
Yeah.
And I can't remember exactly how
Judge almost hit a game-tying home run. He pinched it. He didn't start this game. They gave him the day off. They pinched hit him in the 9th for Joey Gallo, which we'll talk about Gallo. But is it fair to say the experiment hasn't went the way the Yankees wanted?
Not at all. It's been rough. But yeah, in the 9th, Marwin Gonzalez had a 2-run home run to bring Judge up. And Judge,
which I think me and Ryan kind of were talking about that. It was like, why didn't you pinch hit for Marwin Gonzalez? Like,
and then he hit a home run.
So shut us up immediately. Yeah.
And like Judge, I think it was the first pitch And when he hit it, I was like, oh, that's gone.
Yeah.
But then it's the trop, and I hate baseball, and it didn't go out. So that sucked. But they fought. They made it close. Yeah. So the series is tied 1-1. And then we go into game three, and this was Jordan Montgomery versus Shane Baz. Do you want to go over the key points in this one?
Yeah, I mean, Paredes was still, you know, after his three-run performance, you're kind of like on the lookout, just looking for his performance. I felt like Monty didn't have his best stuff. Just other than Cole, our pitching rotation this series just didn't look on it. Like, Monty was getting hit. He got hit. He gave up 9 hits, gave up 2 walks. He just didn't feel like he had the whole performance. He just didn't look like it. And, like, the Rays just attacked early. So we're down 3-0 early. And, like we said, the Yankees just never quit. You know, they were able to somehow, some way, come back against the Rays, who have an unbelievable bullpen.
Yeah.
So we were facing Baz. I don't know if we said that yet. But we were facing Baz. He's coming off IL. So he's not built up, but he's a very good pitcher. We just could not touch him. Like, he's a guy that I fear in the future. He's going to be here for the next, 4 or 5 years in the AL East. He's going to be another one of those tough pitchers that the Rays have. And
And luckily the Yankees have the best player on the planet on their team. Aaron Judge this game did not like that he had to sit last game. Goes and hits 2 home runs. He drove in 2 RBIs. Wait. He drove in 2 RBIs. And then Trevi, when the game was 3-4, the Yankees were losing by a run, Trevi hit a 2-run home run in the 8th inning to make it 5-4. And that's all the Yankees needed. Their bullpen, yet again, was lights out. Over 3 innings by Clark, King and Clay Holmes, one hit, one walk, both by Clark, and no runs.
Yeah. So it was like Clay Holmes went back to his dominant self. There was no hangover. There was no like, oh yeah, he gave up a run the last time he pitched. He looked just as dominant. You know, it really did look like the last performance was just an aberration. Like, it was two soft hit pitches that got him.
Yeah, and King is back to looking like a great pitcher. After this game, the Yankees ended up winning 5-4. They take the series, and Clark Schmidt was sent down to make room for Albert Abreu, which I think this is just like a why not test it sort of thing. Like, I think Albert Abreu might get DFA'd when Chapman comes back, just because they used him once, and I don't think they've used him since then, so I don't know if they really trust him.
It's either him or Manny Banuelos is the two guys that's most like. The next guy to be sent down would be Marinaccio, because he has options. So if Chapman or Loaisiga comes in first, it seems like Chapman is the next guy off the IL. But once Loaisiga is activated, I think it's either one of those two guys, so it's someone needs to prove who's going to keep the role going forward.
I think Marinaccio is better than both of them, but like you said, he's the one with the option, so it's just easier to send him down. But yeah, so now the Yankees are 7-2 to start this miserable stretch that they're on. So they're guaranteed to go over 500, so just whatever games we can take against the Astros is a win in the stretch. But you want to at least, We came into this Astro series like, let's just split. Like, if we win the series, awesome, but we're fine with a split.
Yep. Also, one thing we didn't talk about in the first game, Clay Holmes didn't get the win. Did you see the scoring of it?
Yeah, well, technically, when it goes to a relief, like when the starter doesn't get the win, it's up to the scorer to decide who they think made the biggest impact.
I've always heard that, though, if the starter doesn't go like 5 innings, like if the starter goes, you know, 2 innings, and then it'll be the like the the pitcher that they thought was most effective. I've never heard that, like, determined after that. Yeah. You know, I know it's a rule, but I've never seen it played out that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but, it was definitely interesting. Mm-hmm. But I think Waddy did deserve the win more than Clay did in that game.
No, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so then game one of the Astros series was...
that first inning was something else.
Yeah, in the first inning, Bregman hits a three-run home run. Oh, so it's Tyone versus Framber Valdez. So two good... I think it's... Framber's probably their number two, would you say? I think
Verlander's after Verlander, yeah.
So it's their two versus our three or four, depending on where you put Seve. I think Monty's our five right now. Tyone's either three or four. but they're all good. It's really mix and match. So two good pitchers going at it. Yeah. Tyone gets hit early with a three-run home run. And then the bottom of the first, Stanton responds with a three-run home run of his own. He goes upper deck, opposite field. So just a bonkers home run by Stanton for his 15th of the year.
Yeah.
And then, so we're all tied up going after the first, basically starting 0-0. And then in the third inning, Alvarez just destroys a ball to make it 6-3 Astros.
So to give some context. So first of all, when Alvarez was up to hit, I was already dreading it. I was like, oh, no, not this guy. But Bregman was the hitter before him. He hit the ball, which would have been a double play if it didn't hit off Tyone.
Yep.
So it hit off him. It looked like it hit off his ankle. And the way he was, like, running after it, I thought he was hurt. Like, I think I texted you, Ryan. I was like, I think he's hurt. He's leaving the game. Mm-hmm. On replay, it showed that it just hit the spike. But, like, it would have been just a tailor-made double play if it just doesn't hit Tyone. So, bad luck, but Tyone did end up giving up a three-run home run to, you know, have us trailing 6-3.
Yeah, and credit to the bullpen yet again, Lickey, Abreu, and Castro this time. The rest of the game, they didn't allow another run. They only allowed one hit.
Credit to Tyone as well, though. It's like, he after those three innings... You didn't think he would go much more further. He did go six innings. It's like, and he didn't give up. It was a tough six innings. It's like, even after that runs, like, he wasn't shut down, but he kept the lead or kept the deficit to 6-3.
Yep. Yeah. And that's all the Yankees needed. I mean, it wasn't looking good. I remember texting Jitender. I was like, this game sucks because, like, I think this was the game. It was either this game or the next game that Kyle Tucker made like a really good
it was this game. So the Yankees, after that first inning, they didn't get a hit until the eighth inning. And that's going to be a common point throughout this whole series. The Yankees offense just wasn't getting started. Like, the Astros, credit to them, they held the Yankees, you know, offense down for a while. It's just, once the Yankees started hitting, they couldn't stop them.
Yeah, and like in this game, there was a lot of hard hit balls by the Yankees just not getting down. So that brought us to the ninth inning, the bottom of the ninth. The Yankees were down 6-3.
Ryan, before we get to that though, so in the eighth inning, so you mentioned it with the Kyle Tucker, but Rizzo, actually it might have been in the seventh. Rizzo had a 16 pitch at bat to make sure Framber was not going to go, because he absolutely, after that first inning, he just shoved against the Yankees. The Yankees couldn't get any hits off him, couldn't get a walk. He just shut us down. He just looked dominant. Rizzo, with his 16 pitch at bat, made sure that was the end of the line for him. It was like, after that inning, he's not going to show up again. And that's where you're like, even though the Astros bullpen is really good, you felt confident about the Yankees, you know, making some moves. Maybe they could get something going. So they couldn't do it. In the eighth inning, Rizzo again hits a ball, long fly ball. Rizzo or Kyle Tucker steals an extra base hit. Could have been a home run, maybe. Definitely would have been a double for sure. But it kept the lead to 6-3. Probably would have been 6-5 if it's a home run. Maybe 6-4 if it's a double. But he made an unbelievable play, and me and Ryan just texted each other. It's like, of course, Of course.
Like, of course that happens.
Yeah.
So then that brings us to the bottom of the ninth. Stanton leads it off with a walk. And then Gleyber works a really good at-bat to get a walk.
Stanton was walked on, like, four pitches, correct? It was... Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and then... Oh, wait. Oh, let me double-check. Five pitches.
Okay.
And then Gleyber's walked on six pitches, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And then that brings up
Hicks. Some really great takes, though.
Yeah.
Took some really great takes.
Yeah. And then Hicks comes up. He's... Like, we just... I think we were texting during this, and, like, they both just walked. And then Hicks comes up, just goes down 0-2 right away. And it was just, like, the way Hicks has been this year, he's been a little hotter lately, but, like, it just feels like...
Yeah.
Here we go. Like, he's just going to swing out of his shoes on a curveball, and...
The second pitch was a fastball, which was a great pitch. I don't know if he swung at it or if he just looked at it. He just let it go. Yeah, he just let it go by. And Michael Kay, he like kind of foreshadowed it. He was like, well, Hicks has looked great lately, but, you know, he hasn't put one in the sticks. You know, he hasn't had his home run yet. So it's like he kind of sets it up and... Yeah. Hicks does it. He ties the game.
And his reaction to it was just, it was just pure elation. Just like, he was like, finally, like, it's been so long. I've been just working so hard at this, trying to get going. And he finally hits a huge home run, a 3-run shot. And when we tied that, I was just like, what?
Yeah.
Like, I was like, did he actually just do that?
Yeah, it felt so. So I have my own fantasy team. I have Presley. For this whole series, I benched him because I just had a feeling in my bones. If the Yankees have a chance, they're going to hit Presley, and they have historically hit against Presley, and even this year, going against good closers, elite closers, they are somehow able to just find a way to win. You know, you saw the, you know, Class A walk off Gleyber. It's like they're able to find a way. So it's just unbelievable.
Don't forget the Romano Judge through.
Romano, yep. Well, we're gonna talk about Judge again. Yep. You know, so Presley, first three hitters, nightmare. He walks. No, I think he gave up a single to IKF.
Yep.
And then he walked LeMahieu, but there was a little bit of controversy. So he gave up a hit to IKF. IKF stole second base. I thought he was safe.
He was safe.
Yeah.
And they called him out.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Yankees challenged because he was safe.
Mm-hmm.
And the review was like, oh, we're going to uphold the call in the field. And
Yeah. I felt like I always hate this rule. I want to see if you go on replay, I don't care what the call was on the field. Tell me, what do you think was more likely the play? Do you think he was more likely out or safe?
And whatever. What they need to do is when it's that close of a play, if the umpire is not like definitively sure if he was safe or out, just don't make a call and be like, we're going to look at that.
Yeah.
We're going to review it.
Yep.
Because this whole thing of what it's called on the field, and then because if he was called safe and the Astros were to challenge, it would have still been safe. Like, it's just so dumb that what the call on the field is dictates the outcome so much because he was safe. It just wasn't like clear as day that he was safe. So they couldn't overturn it. And so then
And that could have killed the entire momentum because the Yankees just tied it. That's the first out. So maybe you're like, okay, now you have some breather. It's like, okay, reset. We don't have that, you know, go ahead run. Like it could have went the other way where it's like that could have killed the entire Yankee rally.
Yeah.
There.
Yeah. It would have been the guy on second, nobody out. And that's it's a much different situation. But then Jose Trevino ends up getting a hit, and that hit probably would have ended the game. So I remember texting Jatinder. I was like, IKF would have scored right there. The game should be over.
Yep.
Jose Trevino should have another walk-off. But
yep.
So now we have a guy in first with one out. Joey Gallo, of course, comes up and strikes out swinging.
There's like, there's a new pitcher on the mound.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Ryan Stanek.
He was totally uncompetitive. Three pitches, struck out. It was gross.
Joey Gallo took the first pitch, which was a fastball. It was a little inside, but like mid-height. And then the next two pitches, Stanek just pounds him with high fastballs because Joey Gallo was literally incapable of hitting a high fastball. It's just like all year it's been high fastball, high fastball, high fastball, high
That's
fastball.
All
and he's
you
making
need.
No adjustment to it.
Why would you pitch him anything other than a high fastball?
Like,
he's proven he can't hit it. His whole approach is all or nothing. You're not going to get a high fastball and put that in the seats. And that's all he wants to do.
Well, I mean, a good hitter can. That's Jose Trevino's whole life is hitting high fastballs. Mm-hmm. But, like, Joey Gallo, you just throw him high fastballs and down and away breaking balls. Like, sometimes his eye's good enough to not take the down and away. And if he doesn't, just go back to throwing high fastballs because he can't hit them. And if he does make contact, it's just going to be a pop fly. Yeah. So, it's frustrating. But then DJ walks, which was cool, on six pitches.
Which sets up Judge. I said it at the time. I was like, the MVP of the league, I believe Judge is. He should have... He's now going for his second MVP, right? So, even though it's Rizzo, I was like, you have to walk him there.
Yeah,
they decided to pitch him, and he gets a RBI, walks it off,
absolute laser.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, and the funniest thing about this was the day before when his hearing was originally supposed to be, and that it ended up getting changed to Friday, which. Wait, was this game on Thursday?
This game was on Thursday.
Yeah. So this game was the game before his hearing was supposed to be. So of course, I mean, you're not supposed to consider
take
the current
2022.
Year.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it was just funny that of course he walks it off the day before his hearing. The Yankees win the first game of the series, which just sets you up in a good position.
Yeah.
So game two, we had Verlander versus Seve. I guess
to bookend just that Judge arbitration thing, though, the Yankees ended up settling. So Judge had $17 million. The Yankees had $21 million. They ended up settling at $19 million. And then there's incentives. So I think 250 if you win the MVP and then another 250 if you win the World Series MVP.
Yeah.
So that decides that. So,
yeah,
it's kind of weird that, you know, you have a arbitration in the middle of the year. We get it because, you know, it's so late. It was you couldn't just decide it, but it's just crazy.
Yeah, yeah. And then so I think game two we can kind of speed through this one and just really talk about the pitching mainly. Verlander.
It was Seve versus Verlander.
Verlander was dominant. He gave up one run, and that was on a home run to Stanton. And then Seve gave up three runs, but all three of them were off of a Kyle Tucker home run that. It was a really weird-looking swing. He just turned around an inside pitch and was able to hit it out to left field or right field. And that was all of the scoring. It was those two home runs.
Yeah. So, in the sixth inning, it was just both pitchers just made a mistake. It just so happened that, you know, Seve gave up a mistake with runners on base. So it was like in both games, both teams could feel confident even though they lost. It's like, yeah, it was just, you know, this one inning and, like, one mistake. Although, I guess Presley was more than just one mistake, but, you know, it's one inning for the Astros. It's like, that's a game 99% of the time you win.
Yeah, and the Yankees made it close. Like, they got first and second with DJ up in the ninth inning, but then DJ grounded out. So they still fought. So now the game's tied 1-1, and we're going into game three. This one is Gerrit Cole versus Javier. I forget his first name.
Christian Javier.
That's what I was thinking. So Gerrit Cole versus Christian Javier. Gerrit Cole, that is third start in a row. That was a great start. Seven innings pitched, one earned run, eight strikeouts. The only run was off a home run in the towards the end of his start against Malkovich. And it was, I mean, the dude has two home runs and has less than 10 hits this year. It was a kind of a brutal home run to give up, but he just he turned on one. I mean, when you have a fastball like Cole's, like sometimes they're just going to run into it.
Mm-hmm.
But the Yankees got no hit this game, so
unfortunate.
Their offense, all the Astros needed was that one run. They ended up scoring three, but.
But Cole also looked really good. It was a no-hitter between both pitchers up until, what, the sixth inning? Maybe the fifth.
Yeah, fifth, I think.
But, like, both pitchers just had it. It's just, you know, Christian Javier just, you know, just looked unbelievable. Their whole staff. I think me and you, Ryan, are kind of on the same train where, like, combined no-hitters aren't that special. Like, sure, it's nice, but it's not as special as if it's just one guy.
Yeah.
So the Yankees got no hit. We're angry. You see the Astros celebrating on the field. And I think even though we got no hit and that's like, you know, embarrassing, demoralizing, I think that's going to light a fire under the Yankees. And it just shows you that the Yankees still have, even though how great they are, there's still so much more the Yankees could do for their team to improve it.
Yeah. And we'll talk about that right after we talk about the final game of the series. So this was like, it's not like a must-win, but it was kind of like you don't want to lose to the Astros
at home. This is
a
statement series. Yeah, this is like you don't – it's not a must-win, but you just want to say a statement, right? So it's like don't get swept, absolutely, but don't lose the series either.
Yeah, and we had Nestor going up against Jose Urquidy, which – and then – I mean, Nestor looked decent this game. Not his command just hasn't been great the last few games, so he's just running into a few home runs, and that's kind of what bit him this game. Jose Altuve hit a home run to begin the game, and then just a
first
few,
pitch. It was the first pitch. I went to the game. I have my mustache in support for my mustache brother, Nestor Cortez. First, we were all booing, you know, Altuve. This whole series, he's been killing us, but first pitch, you know, solo home run.
Yeah, and then they tacked on a few more RBIs with a Dubon single, I believe, that ended up scoring two runs.
That was in the fourth inning to make it 3-0.
Yeah, and that's all the Astros would score because Miguel Castro, Wandy Peralta, Clay Holmes, and Mike King came through and didn't allow another run. But the Yankees didn't get a hit until the seventh inning of this game. So a point where we were worried they were going to get no hit 2 days in a row, which would would never recover from that one. But luckily, Stanton ended up hitting a home run in the seventh inning to break it up. And then,
so at that point, so that's 7-9, and they were no hit in the, so that's 16 no hit innings.
Yeah,
the Yankees have had, and that's also in the first game where I told you. In between the first and last inning, the Yankees had no offense.
Yeah.
So it's been a lot of they've
very streaky. Little offense this whole series. Yeah.
Yep.
And then the eighth inning, DJ was able to pull the 2-run home run to tie the game up. And at that point, it was like,
we've got the momentum. And that was off Maton. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. And then the ninth inning, neither team scored. So in the ninth inning, bottom of the ninth, Gleyber Torres was on third after stealing second. They threw the ball away. He got to third. And then Hicks struck out, and they did a pickoff to third. Or, like, the catcher threw over to third, and Gleyber kind of, he fell over. And then on the replay, it was clear that he kind of rolled his ankle, and he got hurt on the play. It came out that he has a mild strain in his ankle. So hopefully he'll be out a week or two, and that's it. But we'll have to wait and see. But like I said, no team scored in the ninth. And then the 10th, IKF starts it off by a routine ball that he just fluffs up and gets an error. And that ended up, Mike King ended up getting into a bases loaded two out situation that should have never happened.
Yeah. So, So I think, so just in the 10th, so IKF starts off with an error off Jose Altuve of all people. And then the next hitter, JJ, whatever his name is, struck out. The runner on third stole third base, which I thought he was out. Jason Castro. He was so in the 10th inning, you know, you start with a runner on second base. He stole third base. I thought he was out. In at least the review, the plays they showed on Yankee Stadium, he was on and then slid off and they kept the tag on. Did you guys see another angle on TV that showed he was safe?
I don't know if I saw this play. I think I was driving home at that point and missed part of this inning.
Okay.
But yeah, so Mike King in a bases loaded situation ended up making, I think it was Gurriel pop out.
Yep, that was the.
So then we go into the bottom of the 10th, all tied
IKF
up.
IKF bunt.
Yep, with two strikes. It was a very, very risky play, but it worked out. And we ended up with Aaron Judge up to bat with two outs.
Once again, knowing on Friday, I told you, I was like, well, I would have walked him. They decide once again, there's another base open. Yeah. You know, Rizzo's up after him. You saw what he did on Friday. The MVP of the league, they decide to go after him once again. And once again, what does he do?
He hits a 3-run walk-off home run. Really didn't work out for them. His third walk-off of the year, his second walk-off home run of the year. I mean, Aaron Judge has just been special this year.
Yeah.
we've got 4 minutes left for this episode. So we end up splitting the series. We went 9-4 in the tough stretch that we had. Oh, wins all around. I mean, we'll take that any day of the week. But now we've got to talk about some of the issues that we still have with this team, despite how great their record has been.
I think the issues, the same issues that we came in the offseason. It's shortstop, outfield, Gallo in particular. Yep. And, you know, you would like the third one is like ancillary. Like, you would like another depth piece for the rotation. But definitely the outfield and shortstop is what I'm looking to improve.
Yeah, I mean, Gallo needs to go. Like, it.
Yeah.
He might not be a horrible player, but he clearly doesn't have what it takes to play in New York. It's, yeah.
So many uncompetitive at-bats. It's like this series alone showed you, like, he just can't handle it. There was no good at-bats that I've seen. At least with Hicks, with how bad he was still walking. Even Gallo, he's a home run strikeouts walks.
Gallo did have the at-bat in the no-hitter that he almost hit the 3-run home run.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I mean, Gallo needs to go. IKF... He has his streaks where he's like a good hitter or a good contact hitter. He has absolutely no power, but
his defense is not as advertised.
Yeah, it just hasn't been good. And like, maybe he's just not a shortstop and like he needs to be at third base. But when you don't have great defense and your offense isn't very good, like he has a 635 OPS, if there's room to upgrade there, I think it needs to happen. Like I was saying, if Glaber's out for a few weeks, just call up Oswald Peraza, who's been hot lately, and just see what he has. Just give it a go.
I think so. Like Gallo, the way you improve there, it's, you know, Benintendi, Ian Happ. Yeah. I would prefer Andrew Benintendi just because I think he would cost cheaper. But I think that's definitely the play I would do. And then, shortstop, just do it internally. Just call up one of our guys.
Yeah, I think if a trade happens for shortstop, like someone opens up, go for it. But I think outfield, like Benintendi or Happ, I'd be extremely happy. And then pitcher, Luis Castillo, Frankie Montas, those two are just the obvious ones.
There was a rumor. There was a rumor that the Yankees have checked in on Luis Castillo, so we'll see. But I'm excited about that. You know, you could never have too much pitching.
Yeah. Exactly. So those are kind of, and we'll get into a deeper dive of more specific names and like actual trades in a later episode closer to the deadline. But that's kind of our thoughts right now. And after this series against the Astros, we're going up against. Why am I blanking out who we're playing next?
We're playing Oakland. The A's.
Yep. So that should be a good series that we can win.
One thing around the MLB, the Red Sox are now in second place, 11 games out. We're still leading the division by a mile, but it's crazy that the Red Sox have creeped in into second base, into second place.
Yeah. So we'll have to keep an eye on them. But as always, if you enjoyed the episode, please leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. If you're watching on YouTube, like and subscribe. And check us out on Twitter and Instagram at The Bronx Story. As always, let's go Yanks.
Let's play ball. Let's go Yankees. Let's keep on winning series. All right. Let's go.
See you guys.
Bye.